during that journey, I learned an awful lot about people in retirement. And so we decided to write a book about that to help people understand what to do in retirement. And it's not just the dollars and cents. It's sort of more about how you're going to leave your mark.
And it's kind of crazy to think like that you could live 20, 30, 40 years, right? And be retired. For me, I joke that I'll never actually officially retire because I actually genuinely love to help people. I genuinely love to work. It might look a little different. Maybe I don't need the money at this point, right? And so it's just kind of gravy, but I don't think you'll ever really retire. But it is just such an interesting concept because you're right. We are living like so much longer.
And I started looking at the demographics and I started taking a look at how we secure business and how we bring businesses, individual brokers. And I noticed the flaw. I noticed that the younger advisors don't spend enough time asking questions why. They're so excited about the alpha, the beta, the standard deviation. I can do this. Look at how smart I am. That they forget that the purpose of money is to have liberty. Right? So we want to have the most amount of money we can within our risk tolerance, but we're doing it so we can have decisions later in life, whether it's healthcare, whether it's travel, whether it's gifting or stewardship, right? Money just gives you liberty.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today we've got John on. He is amazing. He's got all kinds of great information on the financial services space, specifically kind of retirement and what he has seen. So I'm super excited to have him on the show today to dive a little bit more into that. So welcome, John. Tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Well, Jax, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be on your podcast. As you said, my name is John Kalunas. I've been in the financial service industry since, I think, 1988. Started my own firm in 2000, so the firm's 25 years old. We have roughly 150 advisors that work nationally. Traditional financial planning, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, looking at long-end retirement goals. And between the two entities, we manage just under $4 billion. I'm hoping to get over that hump this year. So during that journey, I've learned an awful lot about people in retirement. And so we decided to write a book about that to help people understand what to do in retirement. And it's not just the dollars and cents. It's sort of more about how you're going to leave your mark and how you're going to enjoy your last years, which now, as we've grown older together, it's gotten longer and longer. That time period, you know, my grandparents passed, so they retired at 65, passed away at 66. Now people are living 30, 40 years in retirement. So we need to make adjustments.
Yeah, so we wrote a book. Well, and it's interesting because, yes, I mean, I think about when my grandparents retired and, you know, they were basically retiring practically right away, right? Like as soon as that could happen for them. You know, most of my grandparents actually were very blessed, like lived really long. And it's kind of crazy to think like that you could live 20, 30, 40 years, right? And be retired. For me, I joke that I'll never actually officially retire because I actually genuinely love to help people. I genuinely love to work. It might look a little different. Maybe I don't need the money at this point, right? And so it's just kind of gravy. I can, you know, donate it or whatever's happening with the money, but I don't think you'll ever really retire. But it is just such an interesting concept because you're right. We are living like so much longer. In fact, I read an interesting statistic the other day that said if you have a baby, I think it was 36 or later, you are three times more likely to live to be 90 or older. And if you have a baby after 40, you are four times more likely to live to be 100. And so, I mean, that also has shifted too, like, right, when are we having families? Because used to it was super young, right? People were having kids practically at 15, 16. Now we're not having them until, you know, mid, late 30s and even sometimes beyond that for a lot of folks. And so it's definitely changed some things. And you and I talking a little bit before the show about some of the things you learned, and I'd love for you to share because it's a lot about alignment and I love that because I talk about it all the time.
Yeah. My mom, actually talking about longevity, my mom is a retired school teacher. This year, she will have been retired more than she taught.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Now, she'll be 80, 85, 86, but she'll be retired one more year next year than she had actually worked. So what we did when we were looking at this book, I look at all my advisors and how they, we have just under 30,000 accounts as a firm. And I started looking at the demographics, and I started taking a look at how we secure business and how we bring business as individual brokers. And I noticed the flaw. I noticed that the younger advisors don't spend enough time asking questions why. They're so excited about the alpha, the beta, the standard deviation. I can do this. Look at how smart I am. That they forget that the purpose of money is to have liberty. Right? So we want to have the most amount of money we can within our risk tolerance, but we're doing it so we can have decisions later in life, whether it's healthcare, whether it's travel, whether it's gifting or stewardship, right? Money just gives you liberty. So the younger advisors were so amped up into fill out a fact finder and how much is in your IRA? Do you have a Roth IRA? I mean, they're asking all those questions, which we have to do.
For sure.
But it was very sterile in the way they go about doing it, and almost, how can I put it? Authoritative, right? It wasn't a good process. And I watched the older brokers that were talking about, okay, Jax, how many kids do you have? Where are you going to retire? You know, tell me about your grandparents. Are you from Texas? You know, all of this stuff. Are you going to stay in Texas when you retire? That's how an older broker transacts conversations or holds conversations. For sure. And what we found out is the younger people just didn't have that skill set. So we created this book, Mission Statement, that's sort of mission retirement, that has sort of taken a whole life on its own. And it's just going out to individual retail clients, and people can get an Amazon and all of that. But it's got 10 chapters, and the book is written very simplistically. I think you have a copy of it. At the end of each chapter, there's a couple questions to ask you, yourself individually, and your spouse, and doing it together, and sort of painting what's retirement going to look like. Because everybody, Jack, says, I'm going to golf more. I'm going to travel. I'm going to do this. And then that day comes, they blow out the candles on their retirement cake, and they are happy as a lark for 6 months. And then they look around and go like, man, I've golfed 27 times this year. I've never golfed that much in the last 10 years, right? I've gone on enough fishing trip. Right? And so they start looking at what they're trying to do. And this book sort of takes pause. It has you write a brief mission statement of what you want to do in your retirement. It talks about your family and friends, who you want to spend time with. And a good example, if you come from a big family, maybe there's an estranged person in your family. Maybe there's that crazy aunt that you didn't get along with, that you maybe want to repair fences with, right? You want to get back into the fold before she's gone or before you pass, right? You want to mend those fences. Or there's friends that just because of life, raising kids, that you just spread apart. You move maybe to another part of the country, and you know Jimmy was your best friend and you haven't connected. But you can make a plan and work towards those. And we've got 10 of those in the book. And the whole book is, I think, 130 pages. This is not a War and Peace novel. It's meant to just get you thinking about how you're going to spend your retirement. Because as we were doing research for this book, and I told you this when you were interviewing me to come on the podcast, what scares the living tar out of me is that we found out in the research that retirees, 40% of all retirees end up being lonely. And I just can't fathom, you work 30 years, 40 years, and your end goal, you fall into being lonely. That's just so miserable to me. And then the other statistic that's crazy is the average retiree watches 7 to 9 hours of TV a day.
That's crazy.
Now, maybe they're not watching it. Maybe it's in the background, but still.
Sure.
I'm not working 6 days a week and trying to help people in their financial journey and dealing with employees and doing all that to be lonely and watch reruns of Gunsmoke or whatever the hell it is.
No,
I don't know why
I
don't know why Gunsmoke came to my mind, because I don't think I've watched it in probably
maybe,
since my
maybe
grandparents
you will be
have been
watching in retirement. That's a point, right? Maybe that's what you're going to be watching. I don't know. Well, and it's so funny. I think that's why I say all the time that I don't think I'll ever stop working officially. Like, I might transition and like have people running my businesses or whatever. You know what I mean? But I don't think I could ever truly retire, because I mean, that's exactly what I mean. I say all the time, I'm like, what are you going to do? You're just going to sit there and watch like same TV shows 800 times? Like, I couldn't do that.
Statistically, what you just said is very, very wise, because people that have purpose live longer, and live a better life. Work can give you purpose, right? You have a
Sure.
big passion to help others and to educate people. And if you're doing that, maybe again, your schedule won't look like it does today, as you
For
alluded to.
sure.
But you know what? Staying active is the key to having a fulfilling life. And that's all we want people to do with the book is to have a purposeful life. You know, I can't imagine, you know, saying goodbye to my family and going to hospice and all that, and then realize that I've wasted 20 or 30 years sitting around watching a pick on Gunsmoke. I need to come up with a better example.
For me, it might be episodes of Friends, but you know,
There we
whatever.
go. Friends, Seinfeld, could be something like
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
right?
There's so many good shows, but it's crazy to me, and this is again for me why I started creating this podcast to begin with, is I feel like that as a society, especially now that we have a lot of social pressure in a very different way than we've ever had it before. So we still have the social pressure coming from our own social circles, right? The people that we're choosing to interact with outside of work or home, right? So friends from growing up, or friends from the office, or friends from a church or another religious institution or groups that we're a part of or whatever. There's those interactions. And then there's family, obviously, right? Whatever interaction you're holding with your family. But now we have the layer on top of social media. And social media is a very interesting construct in a lot of ways because, first of all, you can interact with like thousands of people that you have encountered over the course of your life and a bunch of random strangers that you don't know at all, right? And we're feeling a lot of societal pressure not only to live up to the expectations of what is being placed upon us, but then also the fact that everyone's lives look perfect. Because when you take a little tiny snapshot of it, it's like, you know, it's like walking in somebody's house. When you're looking at the photos on the wall, what are they putting up on photos of the wall, right? Are they putting them a picture of them crying on the floor because, you know, they couldn't make rent or mortgage payment or something that month, and so they're whatever? No, of course not. The picture they have up on the wall is the family trip they took where everyone is smiling and having a fabulous time or whatever. And social media is just that on steroids. And now it's like the perfection is just blasted across. And so I feel like a lot of times people are now trying to make decisions, both in the present sense and then also the future sense of like how everyone has told them it needs to look. And the truth is, it's all BS, right? Now, I'm not saying don't have a plan. I'm not saying don't have retirement or don't have, you know, goals and whatever. I mean, I very much believe in intentionality and alignment. But you still have to make sure it's actually going to fit, that it is actually going to yield you a life you want right now and a life you want in the future, right? Because we can't just also be living for that. Like, you know, what are we going to do 30 years? And then we also can't just be only living in the now where it's like, oh, retirement, like, pff, I'll figure that out here in, you know, 20 years when I get closer to it. And so it's just very interesting to me because I feel like we're living in a day and age where we have more information, more ability to make money in unique and different places than we ever have before. But we're the least fulfilled. We feel like we're on a treadmill, just running constantly, right? On a treadmill or the hamster wheel, whichever illusion you want to, you know, metaphor you want to place in there. And it just makes me really, really sad because you have more options and opportunity now than we ever have. And it's almost like we have checked in that opportunity and just said, you know what, John, you just tell me what I should do. And that's, I think, what those younger people that you were referring to, advisors, were coming to. It's like, okay, we have an idea of like they're this old and you know, this is how much they make, and so this is how much they're gonna need. And so, you know, we're just gonna set up the plan without really asking the question of what is it you even want? Like, what does that need to look like for you, right? Like, what is gonna light you up? Because everyone has a very, very different viewpoint of that, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Now, to dovetail on what you said, I mean, it's sort of a Mission Retirement, sort of the Simon Sinek's book of why. You know, why are you gonna, what are you gonna do in retirement? What's your purpose? And, you know, all too often, I think social media is fun, but I think it has really changed the actual viewpoint of a lot of people. And I go back to the quote, I don't know who said it, and I don't even know where I remembered hearing it. I didn't create it. I'm not this smart. But they said, comparison is the thief of joy.
For sure.
And you know, you see your buddy who's, you know, taking pictures and he's supposedly traveling and doing all this and living the life, and they have a miserable life. right?
For
But
sure.
they're smiling for that 10 second picture and posting it, and you're comparing your crazy day because you're on the hamster wheel like everybody else to that perfect photo because it's been filtered, it's been changed, right? It's been manipulated, so it's a perfect photo. You know, it's really changed people's perception. And another thing you said is we have more information now, you know, literally in the palm of our hands with a phone.
For sure.
We have more information than any other point in human history. And I think we're the new people that serve, like you and I, that we serve people, different parts of the financial service world, but it's going to be the interpretation of this information and how to apply it. When I first started my firm, everyone said I couldn't compete with the big guys because I couldn't get information. I'd have to buy research. Well, now firms like Goldman Sachs, BlackRock, they give me their research.
Absolutely.
So I can interpret it and use their products for the benefits of my company. So information now is free. That used to be power. Milhouse Nixon said, knowledge is power. Everybody can be knowledgeable. I watch my kids, and they're 27 and 30, both have got graduate degrees, and I watch them figure stuff out. They'll go to YouTube. Google it, right?
Oh,
and it's
how many people go to YouTube to figure out anything? I mean, I do too. And not only that, it's not just you get to hear it, but if it's something that you need to see how it's being done, right? Because sometimes you pick up a manual, right? And you're like reading it, but if you can't actually see it being done or like how the parts fit together or whatever it is, like it's really hard to understand. So that visual medium is super huge.
And that's exactly the point of you're a really good host because we just went full circle. That's what most brokers do. They look at the alpha, the beta, the standard deviation, and they don't, you know, it's all the parts. They don't know how it goes together for
the
benefit of the client and the person they serve because they want to get the science of it. I always say what we do is there's an art and a science. The science is easy. It's math, right?
Right.
The is how you interpret it. And the interpretation needs to come from the client because they're the ones you serve, and they're the ones, it's their money.
Absolutely.
But how many people do we know they plan for the dollars and cents and that, okay, we can take 4% off our nest egg, we'll be good, or 5% will be good, but they don't plan on what they're going to do with it. And that's what this whole book is about. And I've got to mention, I've been having such a good time. I forgot to mention, I'm the co-author. So there's the gentleman, Kevin Burwall, who was the national sales director for Pacific Life and a big annuity insurance company that co-wrote this with me. And he's not as talented or as nice as me, but I got to mention him. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And the book wouldn't have happened without him. So he's a special guy.
The thing is that, and this is the thing, I do a really bad job sometimes about selling myself when it comes to mortgage, right? I do a bad job of like telling people what sets me apart because the way that I've always handled talking to clients or even obtaining clients is relationship building, right? And now obviously things have changed. We are in a society where people are doing research and stuff like that. And so you have to face up and you have to show them sort of who you are social media wise and through podcasting or videos or whatever it is you're doing, right? To kind of show yourself now prior to. And so I had to sort of learn to start doing this better. And one of the things I tell my operations manager all the time, because when we created PBJ Mortgage, the concept was making mortgage simple, as simple as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy to understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, HouseU provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. HouseU, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with HouseU. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
And that was simple on two different pieces. So piece one was that it didn't have to be that complicated. It shouldn't be like you had to learn algebra in order to get financing to buy a house or refinance or any of these things, right? Like, it shouldn't be that hard. It should be a simple list of directions of what you have to do. And then it's our job to take the hard part, right? And to do the math and to figure out how these things look and how they fit together, et cetera. But then the more important piece of it that I probably don't do as good of a job about is disseminating down that information, asking additional questions, right? Making sure that when weird things do pop up on the back end, we are protecting you from that and that we understand what you want and having your best interests at heart. And it literally blows my mind. I will see it all the time on social media. Somebody who is in the process of buying a house and they're literally picking a complete random stranger based pretty much solely on interest rate, which I will beat the tune of the drum a million times that interest rate is not the most important or only factor in the equation a million times until I'm blue in the face. And it's just really sad to me because I think that our society, that is what's happening, is we want all the information and then we get our little checklist down and we like have checked all the boxes, but then we haven't asked ourselves any self-awareness questions at all. And so then we wonder why it doesn't work out like we wanted to, right? Like, why all of a sudden, when the mortgage payment goes up, because it will, if you're escrowed and you have tax and insurance, because guess what's never going to not go up? Tax and insurance are always going to go up, baby. Like, that's constantly going to be changing. And they haven't thought about any of these things. They haven't asked any of these kind of questions because the professional was supposed to help you do that. And you outsource that power for a checklist. That's what you chose to do. And it blows my mind. Yeah. It's like retirement. How many times you see people, I guarantee you, highly successful people, they've been contributing and throwing money into their 401k for years. They haven't been investing it. They have no idea where it is. It's just somebody told them, well, guess what? You know, you need to be contributing to your 401k and you need to be contributing at least to the match. And you and I both know all these things are true, right? Because otherwise you're giving away basically free money. So you should do this. But if you're not knowing how to do it on the back end and you're not asking any questions and you're not seeking out any professional information of how to apply this, it's all for naught.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that's why we make this book is sort of like a thought provoking exercise. You know, we ask to write a mission statement for your retirement. What do you plan to do? What's your overall goal? And that will change over time. Whenever you write it, that will change because your health's going to change and your finances are going to change. Maybe you don't have a large extended family and all of a sudden you have 6 grandkids, you know, so things will change. Your mission statement will change. But the chapters, just real quick, are family and friends, which we talk a little bit about, hobbies and interests, health and wellness, intellectual activities, leisures and sports, travel, exploring new cultures, right? And then the heavy stuff, spiritual activities, stewardships and investing and in giving, and then passing on personal legacies. And I think that is so powerful. In writing this book, I heard this, Jackson, it's like when you pass, and you probably know this, you're pretty bright, this was new to me, you die 3 times. Your physical death, when you stop breathing, and your loved ones bury you. The second time is when everybody you know in the course of your life is passed on. And the third time is when people forget your name.
Ooh, that's crazy.
And when
I think I knew that, but that last one, right?
Yeah, no, I just learned this and I just learned it. You know, I've talked to a couple of people, but like, yeah, I've heard that before. And I think about, you know, that's where passing on the last chapter, passing on personal legacies, right? That can be carried on. And maybe it's a thought, an idea, it's maybe as simple as a poem or an action you did, a scholarship or grant you established in your name, but that can go on well past the last person you knew has left the earth. So I look at that and if we're going to die 3 times, we might as well do it with purpose.
For sure. Well, have you, I don't know, so you probably don't know this about me, but I'm a Uber nerd. I have a law degree. And so one of the things that I find fascinating that so many people don't realize when they are considering, you know, kind of financial mastery, how they want this to look, how they want to lay out their life and living with intention is how many options you have. You literally can let your money live well beyond you, not just to the people that you love and care about, but you can actually control how it is used in the world, right? So like you can leave your money and leave it in trust and have stipulations on the trust that ensure that your money is being utilized for the things that you know, you held dear, right? There is a very, very good family friend of ours, and her father was incredibly wealthy. He was actually a very early investor in Disney. All his family thought he was crazy, by the way. They thought that he was nuts, like this place where you go and you know.
As a Florida resident, I thank him for his financial contribution.
There you go. And so he ended up with significant wealth. And so basically his children, the requirement in order for them to basically inherit this through the trust was that they must set up a charity that, and it could be whatever kind. So it could be whatever resonated with them, whatever charitable situation resonated with them. They had to set it up. They had to be on the board where they could pay themselves a salary. Like that was perfectly fine. And it would be basically funded by this trust. And it allowed him to force his ancestors to do good with the money, right? That's what he wanted to see. He wanted to see good being done in the world. He didn't want to pigeonhole his kids and say that they had to do it this exact way or this was the terms and whatever. And so oftentimes what people don't realize when they're thinking about mastery and alignment and intentionality is that you have so many options for these things. And I get it. It does feel a little overwhelming at times. But the good news is you can find professionals that are really in your corner on this, right? Who can really make sure that your desires, the things that are near and dear to your heart can be lived out. And like you said, people also don't realize, I think they're afraid of misstepping because of this perfectionist mindset, right? Like, oh, but what if I set up all this stuff and then I do have 6 grandkids and I wasn't planning on having 6 grandkids?
Then you change it.
And exactly. And you can change it. Like there's nothing wrong on its face with, we need to make an adjustment here. We need to pull in and okay, now we've had some birth of some additional people or a family member we had no intention of connecting with or sibling we didn't know about. And now ancestry.com popped up my long lost half brother. And now we want to have some kind of relationship with him and his family or whatever the case may be. And so I think a lot of people are missing the boat and they're thinking that financial mastery or any kind of mastery for that mind means that you have to have an intentional, perfect plan and that it must be carried out exactly according to...
It's never a straight line. Nothing in life's a straight line. I mean, you're in the mortgage business and you get somebody come in with a, you know, phenomenal credit, everything ready to go, and there's always a hitch in the giddy up. It's life is never a straight line. And if you look at it on a whiteboard, yep, that's easy, no brainer. It'll go smooth as silk. And there's always a hitch and a giddy up. And we don't move in a straight line. So if I can, I'll share what I'm doing with my family. I have 2 children. One's a 30-year-old's a DNP. I have a 27-year-old who is engaged to a pediatrician. He is getting his doctorate in strategic leadership. Both good kids. My son played college lacrosse. Just they're good kids. So we're going to, even though we're Catholic, we're going to form sort of like a kibbutz. We're going to have a family meeting. And what I'm going to require the kids to do is to pick a charity and present it to the family. And I'm going to have our wealth advisor, which is me that right now, but I'll have a wealth advisor when I retire, but I have our attorney and our CPA that they'll report. And I'm going to make it a family holiday. Maybe it's going to be the third weekend in January. We're going to go away. And they're going to be required to go through like a board meeting, present ideas and make sure that I'm going to have the same attorney and the same CPA do the kids' taxes. So everything's sort of full laid on the table so I can see that they're making right decisions, but I can also coach them. So when I'm not here, that they'll continue that tradition. And we're working things through our wills and trusts. And the funny thing is, if you see those binders that are right here, that's our estate plan that was just redone. So. Nice. it was done 5 years ago. And as we're looking to move things, and we have this new lady coming into our family, my son's a fiance, we wanted to make sure everything was tightened up and everything was together, and that we're moving together as a family unit to help maximize what we can do for others, but also protect what we have.
For sure. Well, I mean, that is really truly what it's all about as well. And we have a family trust, like as far as like my parents are concerned. And then my brother and his wife have a trust. My husband and I, we actually have two separate trusts that we have that kind of operate together. And so I think a lot of times people really think, you know, that all of these things have to go exactly a certain way. And I'm going to encourage you, those of you who have parents that are getting near or getting close to retirement age, have some conversations with them, because you would be surprised at how many parents are under the impression or feel that they need to hold back all this money or all these things or provide so much for the future generations, right? And so I was very frank with my parents. I said, if you could do anything with your money, and you can do whatever you want because you earned it, it's your money, my things would be, I would love for you to do family trips so that you can actually see your money and enjoy your money, and we could enjoy each other and spend time together, right? And then number two, if you want to help spend money on any of your grandchildren's education, right? So furthering the next generation, and also them getting to see that, right? Them getting to see how their dollars and cents, yes, you know, sort of worked out. Because I think a lot of times, I mean, I told my mom, I was like, if you leave me nothing, like, that's fine with me. I will make my own money. I'm not worried about, you know, that you need to hold and store back all of your money, et cetera. And you should be having some of these conversations. Like, I talk all the time, and I don't know if you ever recommend or suggest reverse mortgage to people. But we talk a little bit about it, and it is not for everybody by any stretch. But it's so funny to me how many people are struggling in retirement or getting to a point where they're having to touch a lot of their investments or things like this, because they want to hold on to a free and clear house or a house that has very little owed on it. And I'm like, why? Your kids don't want your house, first of all, for the most part, right? Unless it's like a family home that's been in the family for generations and generations, they probably don't want your house. And you could leave that money like doing other things for you, right? Allowing you to have more of a life and things like that. And so it's just interesting. Again, it's not for everybody, but if you're not having conversations with your family about their own mastery, about their own self-awareness, like, you're missing the boat here. Money is not the faux pas. It's not something that you shouldn't talk about. You should talk about it, so there's no challenges, and it creates less issue when somebody passes away and you know, like, what's coming. Like, we've had these conversations. We understand, like, where dad wanted his money to go, or mom, or whoever, you know, what their wishes were. When you don't talk about it and you just pretend that it's not coming, that's when you find out that mom or dad did something crazy, and now we have this bone of contention between siblings or relatives or whoever it is, right? And it can create all kinds of challenges. So I just heavily encourage, when people are considering retirement for themselves or even looking at it through the lens of like their parents, have conversations. It's so important, so that you make sure that nobody is trying to live this lonely, miserable retirement kind of situation, because that's what they feel like they need to do.
Yeah, just some observations on what you said, because we see it every single day in our business. Family meetings should always be generational, and they very rarely are. Most of the problems at the end of someone's life comes from usually the sweet little innocent daughter-in-law or the nice handsome son-in-law that married into the family. It's usually not between just the siblings. It's usually somebody speaking in the sibling's ear and stirring the pot. Like, why are you getting, and it's usually an outsider stirring the pot. And then the other thing we see quite frequently, probably 90% of the time, is the documents aren't in order. Things aren't in order. They're not titled right. You know, and mom and dad thought they had everything locked up, but they didn't want to tell anybody about it. And so no one had another set of eyes on it. And maybe it was right in 1992, but it isn't in 2025. So, you know, the constant updating that, and that's when you share with people what you have and your intentions. It's like, you know, we have a lot of Centennial Farms in Michigan, where the business is located, and, you know, passing that down is very important to the family. And it's important that we're sort of part of that legacy of passing it on. And you've got to get very creative, but all the cards have got to be on the table, because of especially when the estate tax is so much lower, it was devastating to family farms. So communication, you know, making sure your ducks are in an order and not just thinking you do. Have it reviewed every 2 to 3 years. Yes, it does cost some money. You know, this the stack of stuff I had there, it just cost me $3,700 to update it, right? I don't like spending that money, but it's important that things are done right to help my children and my wife in a transition if I pass before my wife. So there are a lot of things you can do to give you peace of mind instead of just hoarding your money thinking that you got to worry about running out or you're going to give a lump sum to a child. I think your idea of making travel with kids and grandkids is just, it's glorious, right? They'll have that memories of maybe going to Italy or Disney World or going down and seeing the Alamo, right? They're going to have those memories, and those memories will be with them the whole time, right? Setting up an educational trust for multiple generations with qualifications. You know, it could be a trade school, it's got to be a 4-year college or 2-year, whatever your bailiwick is, however you want to do it. But setting parameters to give the next generation, and more importantly, probably generations beyond the ones you can even, you're kissing and hugging at Christmas, those generations that you haven't even, that aren't even created yet, a leg up and an opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like I said, it's just very interesting to me that we should be normalizing conversations like this, right? We should be normalizing conversation about money, about retirement, about end of life situations, about all these different things, because the truth of the matter is that life is finite, right?
Like we're all gonna face it.
Yeah.
You know, going back to these younger brokers, they really struggle with it. And the older ones don't, because when you take care of a death claim, you lose a client, you go through a bit of a mourning if you're a really good broker, because you've been attached to them emotionally.
For sure.
The younger brokers haven't learned that yet. They don't have enough months that have passed by or years. So they'll get there eventually. I'm sure I was like them when I started as well. But our book helps people focus what their purpose wants to be in retirement and to make it more meaningful.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because some of the younger generation is embracing some of the more non-traditional paths, right? I think, though, that they need to be encouraging themselves to, I'd like to have conversations with some of the older generation to learn and sort of bridge the gap, right, of information, which is, again, why I am so adamant about having conversations in your household, right? Money shouldn't be taboo to be talked about around your table. I understand you're trying to protect your children from the evils of the world, right? And the problems and the issues. But the reality is if we're not having conversations about these things, if we're not sharing these things, then what's going to happen? I mean, life's going to come up and bite them on the ass. Like, it just is what it is, right? And so you have to be having these conversations, because otherwise, it's like with me. One of the things I see, the biggest problem I run into in my industry as a whole, is people are afraid to talk to us. We are scary. And why are we scary? We're scary because you have to lay financially bare, right? I have to see what your credit score is. I have to see how much income you make. I have to see how much savings you have, right? And these are terrifying things, one, because of judgment, and two, because I think a lot of people feel like their financial house is not in order. And so they don't want to have that conversation for fear that we're going to tell them no, that we're going to say, oh man, John, like your credit sucks and your income sucks and your savings suck and you suck, right? Like that's what they think in their brain.
Thanks for using me as the example, Jax. Thanks for using me as the example.
Yes, exactly. But you know what I mean? Like, but that would never happen. Like, I always tell people the answer is never no. It's usually not now, but it's not no. And so there's so many resources here with amazing people like John's book. You know, I mean, we have resources too, where you can figure out like where your credit is writing, how much savings you're holding, how that's going to help you towards whatever home situation you want to buy or do. There's just so many options. And so don't sleep on the fact that we are in the best place for gathering information that we've ever been in our lifetime, seeking out people who are like, you know, John's group, who are like my group, like that care and genuinely want to help put you in a position. Yes, we're going to challenge your viewpoint, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? We're going to help you see and open up your eyes and have some awareness around things that you maybe never had awareness around. And so, John, thank you so much for being a guest. Tell everybody like kind of where they can find you. I know that you said that the book, I think, is on Amazon.
Yeah, you can get a version of the book there. It is Mission Retirement. You can either search by Mission Retirement or by, as I said, my co-authors, Kevin Berwald, B-E-R, WALD. That's a lot easier to spell than Kalunas, KAILUNAS, but you can search by both. It's on Amazon. It's an easy read. There's little things in the book to write. We want it to be a working exercise between yourself and your spouse. And it's quite often, if you do them separately, it's amazing how often spouses don't align on what they want to do in retirement. And that's a whole other show for you.
I was going to say, yeah, we see that in home buying too, where it's not alignment. Like my book, which is a little bit longer than yours, but it includes a crap ton of stories, Mortgage 101, The Secret Sauce to Home Buying. But I created the book mainly because I wanted people to have information too. I wanted them to understand like how it worked, what the process looked like, right? And so that way, if they were being taken advantage of, they kind of knew.
Gotcha.
As well as they could see people who maybe didn't do it exactly the right way and why that kind of, you know, blew up in their face a little bit, like why, you know, you wanted to be intentional and think about some of these things and think them through. But I think that is awesome. And yes, this is why you should have the conversations though, because if you aren't out of alignment, you want to kind of figure out that now, not when you reach retirement 20 or 30 or 40 years later, and you're like, oh, you want to live on a mountaintop in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, and I want to live in a condo in the city. And those two things are about as far apart as humanly possible,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So at least better try to figure it out now, maybe come up with some kind of plan that's a little bit more of a blend. But thank you so much. It was so great to have you on the show. And your information was so great. And it's just helpful to put context around that people shouldn't just be saving money to save money, right? Obviously, we know that money is important, but it is simply a tool. It's a vehicle, right?
And like gives you liberty to make choices. That's all it does. Jax, it's been an honor, and you've got a great podcast, and I'm humbled that you asked me to participate today. So thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified, and we hope you come back next week and watch another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.